Good afternoon, everyone. I think I've got to meet many of you before, so lots of familiar faces. It's good to see all of you again, and good to be here celebrating God's family. As we come to an installation service, I'm not sure what your experience of installation services have been, but first time I heard the word installation, it was at my installation, and the district superintendent was coming for an installation. I thought he was going to plug me in like an appliance. That's not what we're going to be doing today. I think Pastor Jacob is already pretty grounded in God's Word, so we'll leave that be. But there is something important here as we look at an installation of a pastor. I'm going to go to Ephesians 4 and look at the passage there for a moment. If you have your Bibles, please turn there with me, because there's an important piece here for you, as there is for each one of us who is a part of the church, the body of Christ. Ephesians chapter 4. Paul's letter, of course, to the church. And if you haven't looked at Ephesians in a long time, I would encourage you to do that, especially as you have a... Well, he's not really new, but he is new, sort of, pastor starting up. Because there's a very key piece here. This instruction is not just to a pastor. It is not just to the elders. It is not just to leaders. It is to everyone who is a part of the church. And that's, I'm assuming, referring to most of you here. The church is not a building. Correct? The church is not a building. The church is not a steeple on the top. The church is not a sign. It's not just a non-profit agency. The church is you and me, the body of Christ. The church is you and I. When Scripture talks about the church, it is talking about us directly. So I'm going to read this passage here, and then I'm going to make five different observations from it real quickly, and then we'll spend some time in prayer. And I have a word of instruction, not only for our pastor, but also for the church body. As a prisoner for the Lord, then I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us grace has been given as Christ has apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he led captives in his train and gave gifts to men. What does he ascended mean except that he is also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. It was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, as each part does its work. Let's pray together. Lord God, we have read your word. As Paul wrote to the Ephesian church, we know, Lord, that your Holy Spirit spoke to him and wrote these instructions through him, so that the church would be built up, so that the church would know how to live, even as they read this letter. Lord, it is 2014. Your word is timeless. You are unchanging. As we read these words, Lord, we know that this is instruction to us. For us to know how to live today. For us to know how to live tomorrow. For us to know who the church is and what it is you are doing until the day that you come back. Lord, as we look to your word for instruction in our life, would you, Lord, guide my words? Keep me from error. Protect the hearers so that they hear and understand your word and only your word, so that it is indeed profitable for them as the Holy Spirit takes and applies this word to their lives. Use me, Lord, as you will. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As I was here before, when I was at district conference, every church that I go to, some of you are from the other church. I know your faces, and some of you are leaders in other churches. Every church that I go to, in this past year, I have preached the same message. It's not the same sermon, but the message keeps coming up the same. And so some of you will hear a repetition of what I've said, but I'm going to stay right here in this passage. The body of Christ exists, first of all, to glorify God. You heard me say this before. In fact, I made you guys say it to each other. You were made by God. You were made for God. And you were made for His glory. Boy, some of you remember. That's awesome. You were made by God. You were made for God. And you were made for His glory. The church exists for the glory of God, for Him to be revealed and for Him to be praised. Brothers, sisters, little ones, do you understand that your God wants to show this world who He is, and He wants to do it through you? When you show up at your work, when you show up at the church gathering, when you show up anywhere that you show up, your God wants to reveal Himself through you and so cause others to praise His name. So the word glorify means to reveal and to cause others to praise. Everything that there is, including the body of Christ, exists to glorify God. Secondly, the body of God, the body of Christ, is gifted by God. Gifted. That's what we just read in this passage that we read in Ephesians 4. Did you know that if you are a believer, if you are a follower of Christ, God has gifted you? Did you know that? Scripture tells us very specifically that God has gifted you, and He gifted you the way that He wanted to gift you. He didn't give you Pastor Daniel's gift. He didn't give you someone else's gift. He gave you a very specific gift for one purpose: to build up, edify the body of Christ. Did you know that? 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. The passage we just read said it this way. It was He who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. You hear? It's the same statement. Every one of you, young, old, male, female, it doesn't matter. God has gifted you to be able to use you so that the body of Christ is built up and is able to become all that God intended it to be. Many churches talk about having the 80-20 principle. You know what 80-20 principle is? 20% of the people do 80% of the work. May that never be said of this church family. You know what that means? If 20% of the people are doing 80% of the work, so let's say in a body like God uses, okay, my hands are doing things that my feet should be doing. It means that my hands are doing things maybe that my ears should be doing. Can a hand hear? No matter how hard it tries? Maybe you're an ear. And you refuse to listen. Who suffers? Scripture says the whole body suffers. Not just one part. The whole body suffers. See, we're here at an installation service for a pastor. And many people are really happy about the fact that there's a pastor coming to our church. For some people, it means there's a pastor coming, I don't have to do what I'm doing anymore. That's not what Scripture says. Scripture says that He made every one of you, every one of you, to be a very specific part of the body. Some of you are quiet and no one sees you, but you're prayer warriors. You do things in the quiet to encourage people and to bless people and to help people without anyone knowing. No one knows. There's some people in the kitchen like that right now. They don't care if anyone gets fame or glory. They're doing service. Why? Because they know they're serving the body of Christ. They don't care if anyone says thank you or not. They just want to serve God. They're using their gift. Like that, we have parts in our body, right? I don't know. Last night when I was watching a TV show, I wasn't sitting there thinking about, I wonder how my pancreas are doing. I know my pancreas are somewhere in there. Those of you who are physicians can tell me. I know they're somewhere in here and they're doing their work. I don't even know they're doing their work. But somebody takes it out or it quits functioning and I know suddenly that it's not there, right? Not everyone is an out front person in the body of Christ with their gifts. But every person is gifted. Every person is gifted. For what? To build up the body of Christ. All believers, I know that there are some theological groups that have a hard time believing this. But I'm a very simple person, so if God's Word says something, I just believe it. Okay, I'm pretty simple that way. Even if it doesn't make sense to me and one seems to contradict the other, I don't argue with it, I just say, okay, it's true. I just don't understand it. Scripture tells us that every believer, every person who has come to Christ has the Holy Spirit of God living inside of him. In fact, Romans 8, verse 9, tells us that same reality in the opposite direction. It says this, you know what? You have the Spirit of God living inside of you. If you don't have the Spirit of God living inside of you, you're not His. Why did the Holy Spirit come to live inside of us? To empower us for life, for living. The gifts that He's given, the only way that we can use that in a way that brings praise to God, that brings glory to God, that serves the body and changes people's lives, is when the Holy Spirit of God is working in and through us. And Romans 8:9 says, you, as a follower of Christ, you have God's Spirit working inside of you. Some people say, you know what, I'm not sure. I see a lot of behaviors, I see a lot of things in my life that don't look like the Holy Spirit's working inside of me. The problem is not that the Holy Spirit is not there. The problem in that case is that we are not surrendered to Him. If you are a believer, a follower of Christ, and you are not seeing God's effect in your life through the Holy Spirit, it's usually because you and I have not surrendered to Him. It's not because He's not there. That's a whole other sermon. I'm not even getting into that, okay? We'll be here till 6 o'clock. This is important for us to know. Many believers mix these two things up. Fruit of the Spirit and gift of the Spirit are not the same thing. Does everybody here know that? Wow, that was about 5 people. Okay, if you have a fruit tree out there, if you walk by there, okay, you will see the fruit tree just bears fruit. A family member of mine has a peach tree outside in their front yard, and every year they have peaches. They didn't plant the tree, they don't take care of the tree, the tree just bears fruit. I've gone and stood right by it. They live in Cincinnati, so I've stood right by the tree. Tree doesn't make any noises. It just bears fruit because it is a peach tree. I see believers who are living their lives like this. I have the Spirit of God living in me, so I'm going to bear fruit. Yeah! I'm going to bear fruit! Scripture says that I should have fruit in my life, so I'm going to bear fruit. Trees that are peach trees produce peaches. It doesn't try, it just produces. Apple trees produce apples. Because of what is flowing in and through them, the Holy Spirit of God flows in and through us. The fruit of the Spirit is produced in our lives without anyone having to do anything except surrender. If we surrender, and if we will live like apple trees, our life will produce apples. If you're an apple tree and you pretend to live as an orange tree, your life will not produce oranges, nor will it produce apples. You will be fruitless. Okay, I know I'm pushing that analogy a little bit, but here's what Scripture says, Galatians 5. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Every single believer, every one of us, when the Holy Spirit lives in us, this is being produced in us. These are not gifts. These are normal things that should be produced in us. So don't go tell somebody, I have the gift of self-control. Because by saying it, you prove that you don't have the gift of self-control. You're saying stupid things. The gift is given by God. There are specific things given to the church. There are specific things given to individuals for the edification of the body. Last, final. And I've kind of covered this already, but I want to make sure that you understand this. You are designed very specifically by God with something in mind. A gifting given because you are a particular part of the body. I think I might be like this top section of this little finger. That might be my part in the body. So guess what? I'm not going to try to be the whole hand. It's not my job. But being this top section of this finger is my job. And the only way I can be what God made me to be is in the power of His Spirit. And so I am going to surrender my life to Him. And I'm going to learn. And I'm going to grow. And I'm going to develop this gift. Not neglect this gift, but develop this gift of being the top section of this finger as best as I know how. Why? So that I can live according to the design God gave me. Why? So that the body of Christ can be built up. Why? So that God can use this body. God can use us to go and do what it is He called us to do. Scripture says that He is using us as ministers of reconciliation, as though God were making His appeal to men through us. You know what? Individually, I want to reflect everything that is of God. When someone meets me, I want them to go away saying, "I think I met Jesus today." I want Jesus to be revealed in my life. I want people to praise my Father in heaven because they met Jesus today. But that's also true of the church. When a stranger walks in here and the body is living like it needs to be living, guess what they're going to walk away from here with? They're going to walk away from here saying, "I saw something today I have never seen before." Jesus says to the disciples, you know what? They're going to know your mind by your love. They're going to see something in this gathering that makes them go, "This is not a gathering like any other gathering we go to. We see Jesus. We see something that's not from this world." But that only happens if you and I are living the design God gave us to live. So, I'm going to ask Pastor Jacob and Amy a whole bunch of questions in a second. I'm going to require them to live what Scripture says that they need to live. As leaders, as teachers, how they need to live. I'm going to ask them that. Then I'm going to ask you that. The response will be simple. The response is, as much as God gives me strength, I will. But as the body of Christ, I want you to be thinking about this right now. We're going to pray for and install a pastor. Are you ready to be the rest of the body? Because he's only one part. She's only one part. The rest of you are the rest of the body. And that's true in every church. Right? Alright. Pastor Jacob, would you come up? Amy, would you come also? Stand right there, brother, and look in my direction. Okay? Alright. I'll turn you guys around in a second. Amy, most of what I'm going to read is specifically a charge to Jacob. But I want to tell you something. The reason I have you up here is because there's something incredibly important about who you are as the pastor's wife. Okay? God has gifted you very specifically. And He's using you, even this morning in music. Okay? I'll tell you that I would not have learned the lessons that I have learned from my God and my love unless God had used my wife. He has used her over and over again to challenge my theology.
Yes.
To help me love people, to help me to be the man that I need to be. So when I call you up here, I'm not calling you up here as a token. I want you to know the important ministry that you have. Besides what you do in the church body, there's something very powerful that you do in this man of God's life. Okay? You ready, Jacob?
Okay.
All right. Dear Pastor Jacob, you are called to be a preacher and teacher of the Word of God, to train and equip God's people for work of ministry so that the body of Christ will be built up. Live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. In all things, live for the glory of God. Reflect Him and cause others to praise Him. Hold on to your faith and good conscience. Set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them, so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers. Live a life of holiness and humility. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on a cross. Live as a man and a woman of prayer always. Seek the face of God, not just His hand. Live simply for His approval as one who is already accepted by God in Christ. Godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, man of God, flee from all of this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which God will bring about in His own time. Pastor Jacob, live these things that the Word of God charges you to live out. Guard, both of you, guard what has been entrusted into your care. The family of God, the sheep of His fold. If you too are in agreement with this, would you respond to me? In the Lord's strength, I will. Come, stand with me. Church family, would you please stand? Scripture is very, very firm about taking vows without meaning to do so. I want you to do this with seriousness. I'm going to read out some things to you. I want you to think those thoughts and make sure that what you're committing, you're planning on living. Okay? With seriousness. Church family, you are a part of the body of Christ. You are here, made by God, for God, and for His glory. God intended to reveal Himself through your lives and to satisfy yourself in Him. Your lives were meant to cause others to praise your Father in heaven. Each one of you, no matter how young or how old, have a specific gifting that is given by God. It is not the same gift, for you are all different parts of the body. And the purpose of these gifts is to edify, that is to build up the body of Christ. You were called to live in unity of the Spirit, in oneness, because of Christ, who is your head. Conduct yourselves in such a way that the world knows that you are Jesus' disciples because of your love. You have the blessing of a man of God who is called to shepherd this flock, love and care for you. You have a pastor's wife who loves you already, who prays for you, who stands alongside of you, who will counsel and care for you. You also have a responsibility. You have a responsibility of caring for him and his family and encouraging both their walks with Christ. How you live your life will encourage or discourage them. It is important. You have been given the mission of being ambassadors of Christ, carrying the gospel of Jesus in and through your life to the nations. God has called you to be a minister of reconciliation, God reconciling people to Himself through you. He wants to use you in Jerusalem, in your local community. He wants to use you in Judea. He wants to use you in this district. He wants to use you in Samaria. He wants to use you in this nation. He wants to use you even across the world. Your life matters for all eternity and for the eternity of others. Live in the power of the living God, yielded to the Spirit of the living God. The instructions of Scripture regarding the church, Christ's bride, His body, all apply to you and me, individually and collectively as a body. Please, don't just study it. Please don't just talk about it. Please live it. Church, will you live this calling found in the Word of God? If your answer is yes, please say, in the Lord's strength, we will.
We will.
Amen. We're going to pray for Pastor Jacob and for Amy. And for that, I'm going to ask the two of you to come to the middle here, and we're going to gather around you. That's a good spot. Brothers, sisters, if you're not used to laying hands on people, here's the instructions. Come around them, lay your hands on them. Those of you who are closest to them, don't crush them. Okay? We want them standing at the end of this. Alright, so come around them. If you can't get all the way up here, that's okay. Put your hand on the person in front of you. Alright? I want you to hold this, brother, because my hands are full. Here, hold this. Okay? I'll make the presentation in a second. Heavenly Father, we come as the church before you. Lord Jesus, we are your body, your bride, your people. And Lord, you have made every one of us according to your design. Your word says as you apportioned it, you gave us gifts. You made us very specifically. Because you have very clear purpose and design in our lives. And Lord, as we come around our brother and sister here, we see your hand upon their lives. We see that you have made them very specifically as a particular part of the body, as leaders, Lord, according to your design, visible parts of the body who are out front.
We see, Lord, your Spirit at work in them, and we see the gifting that has been placed on their life. We ask you, Lord, we ask you for a new anointing of your Spirit upon them. We ask, Lord, that you would empower them to this ministry that you have called them into. On the hard days, Lord, help them to remember. Help them to remember that the Lord God, the God of the universe, the creator of all things, El Shaddai, the all-sufficient one, has called us and has placed us here. We will persevere. Father, in the days of joy, help them to see how this bountiful God has provided in every way for all of the blessings that have come. Father, I pray that you would continue to bless and use the two of them, work in their families, work in their children's lives, and bring blessing, Lord, in their lives. Lord, may their fruit producing be natural and normal, because the Holy Spirit is free to roam and work in and through them, that whether they are apple trees or peach trees or whatever kind of trees they are, the fruit of the Spirit would pour from their lives, Lord, and bless all who are around. And I pray that you would use your gifting to edify and build up this body so that there are no infants left within this body. That every new believer, new person who comes in here is quickly introduced to you and helped to grow up in their faith. So that no one takes them captive by clever thinking and schemes of men, but that they follow the God of the universe and will live out to His glory also. Each person here, each person who will come. Father, I pray for this church body. I pray that as we surround this brother and sister, Lord, I pray for this church body that we will all live out according to your design, the gifting, the fruit pieces, all that you intend to do in and through our life, Lord. We surrender right now to you. We ask you, Lord, come, fill us. Change whatever parts need to be changed in us. Adjust. Fill up what is empty. Lord, remove things that are not of you. Fill us, every cell, every part within us. Fill us with your Spirit and take charge, Lord, of our lives. So that individually and collectively as a church body, Lord, when people come and encounter with us, they will see the Son of the living God in us.
Amen.
And that they will praise you, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
They will praise you and say, wow, what kind of God do they serve? I want him also.
Amen.
Lord, what a great blessing it is to be yours.
Yes.
What a great blessing it is to be your called people. And Lord, we rejoice greatly in being yours. Use us, Lord, so that this world knows and praises Jesus.
Amen.
Pray this in your precious name.
Amen.
Amen. And let me take the certificate back. Brothers, brothers, sisters, family, this is Pastor Jacob's license to serve within the CMA in this district.
We're going to invite Reverend Daniel Sheehan to give us encouragement, encourage our pastor around who also encourage us. So I apologize. In the following 15 minutes, I'm going to use Mandarin. So if you do need translation, I think there will be translation. Okay. 真的是带着一个欢喜快乐跟一个祝福的心哈，也代表我们教会哈， 常常会说这个北唐母堂啊，其实我们现在已经是兄弟跟姐妹的关系，因为北唐已经独立啊，所以真的是很感恩，而且呢也知道说今天不仅是让福牧师的就职礼啊，也是庆祝北唐成立七周年。你知道七这个数字在圣经里面代表了完全啊，神自己很喜欢七，譬如说在创世纪的第二章，神用六天创造天地万有，然后神就赐福给第七天他安息，而且把那一天定为圣日啊，七啊。在新约，在主耶稣他自己在十字架上啊，有十架七言，这十架七言把主耶稣的救赎充分的描述。然后在启示录圣经的最后一卷书有介绍圣灵是七灵啊，也是七。所以无论是说从创世纪开始啊，一直到启示录的结束，从创造到新的创造到新天新地，神很喜欢七。所以在接下来我就会读一段圣经也是跟七很有关系，我会读启示录的第一章，我从第八节开始读起，然后从第八节就读完到第二十节。启示录的第一章第八节，主神说，我是阿拉法，我是奥梅加，这个是希腊字母的一个首一个尾啊，阿法跟 Omega， 是昔在今在以后永在的全能者。然后第九节就是写启示录的这个老约翰啊，我约翰就是你们的弟兄，和你们在耶稣的患难国度忍耐里一同有份，为神的道并为给耶稣做的见证，曾在那名叫拔摩的海岛上。那时候他在一个拔摩的海岛，这个海岛的名字叫拔摩。当主日我被圣灵感动，听见在我后面有大声音如吹号说，你所看见的当写在书上，达于以佛所、士美拿、比加摩、推亚推拿、萨迪、菲拉铁菲、老底加那七个教会。我转过身来要看是谁发声与我说话，既转过来就看见七个金灯台，就你看见这个七出现了哈。灯台中间有一位好像人子，身穿长衣，直垂到脚，胸间竖着金带，他的头与发皆白，如白羊毛，如雪，眼目如同火焰，脚好像在炉中锻炼光明的铜，声音如同重水的声音。他右手拿着七星啊，又一个七出现了，从他口中出来一把两刃的利剑，面貌如同烈日放光。我一看见这个，我就是约翰，我一看见就扑倒在他脚前，像死了一样。他用右手按着我说，不要惧怕，我是首先的，我是末后的，又是那存活的，我曾死过，现在又活了，直活到永永远远，并且拿着死亡和阴间的钥匙。所以我们就知道这一位跟约翰讲话的啊，这位好像人子是谁呢？就是耶稣基督了啊，这个很清楚了。所以你要把所看见的和现在的事并将来必成的事都写出来，所以就有了接下来的这个我们看见的这个启示录哈。论到你所看见在我右手中的七星啊，这个七个星啊是在主耶稣的右手，和七个金灯台的奥秘，那七星就是七个教会的使者，七灯台就是七个教会。所以我就在思考说，今天要跟北唐的弟兄姐妹啊，还有特别跟廖福牧师还有凤霞师母啊，我就想说借着这一段这当中啊，既有七星也有七个金灯台啊，代表七个教会，那我们在庆祝这个成立七周年，我们不仅回顾感恩前瞻，也要有盼望。但是在有盼望之前呢，我们需要先知道啊，约翰那个时候他曾经在一个名叫拔摩的海岛上，那你说是不是听起来他在那边旅游度假咯？如果你晓得当时第一世纪的背景，就知道这个名为拔摩的海岛不是观光的景点，它是一个什么地方呢？它是啥地方？是一个去流放啊，比如说犯人啊，它其实是一个孤岛，其实它所象征的意义就是一个被放逐 被遗弃的一个状态。你可以说在那边老约翰他被放逐到那边的时候，他不仅是经历孤单，而且他没有什么盼望啊，就这么一个概念。那这个用在我们今天的场景，你说在美国这边好像很难想象这样的情况哈，因为左看右看都很好嘛。但是如果我们仔细再回想刚刚我们所听见的，约翰他说，我就是你们的弟兄，跟你们在耶稣的什么患难国度忍耐里一同有份。所以说在主的国度里面，患难跟忍耐好像是跑不掉的。那你就说会有什么样的像拔摩海岛的经历呢？弟兄姐妹的我就不谈了哈，你们在工作的场合或者在家里面遇见的情况许许多多哈。但是呢，我从做一个牧者的角度，你说让福牧师会碰到什么孤单的情况吗？我就会说哈，我就不举例子。但是做牧者的有的时候真会碰到一个孤单的情况，是什么情况呢？就是心中哈的这一些东西哈是没有办法跟教会的弟兄姐妹讲。你说跟长老讲不行吗？跟某一个人讲不行吗？我就告诉你，真有这些情况，就是不行的时候怎么办？所以让福牧师要跟谁去讲呢？你说比较随便，答案是跟神去讲，就是跟上帝去说哈。那如果说我就讲我自己的例子哈，那我当然也要跟神说哈，但是心里面还是又不能够跟别人说，所以只好跟谁说呢？就是跟凤霞师傅说嘛，他不见了。所以说在这个情况当中，你就说师母还是牧师，哪一个谁比较容易啊？你说听起来这个牧师不好当哈，那我就会说师母就更不好当了。因为你就去想哈，假设让牧师知道是他，因为这不能再跟别人讲哈，那他去跟谁讲？我是说凤霞，那你说他去跟谁讲？那你说再去跟神讲，这又是很属灵的答案了。在这个情况当中，我们就会说，无论是个人，比如说像做牧者的师母啊，牧师师母，都会遇见一个叫拔摩海岛的情况。弟兄姐妹，你们个人也会，教会会不会呢？也会遇到拔摩海岛的情况。但是真正的出路是在哪里呢？就是一个比拔摩海岛跟它所代表的那个意义哈更真实的东西，就是主耶稣基督的意象。因为他不仅听见，他也真实的看见。在这样的一个拔摩海岛很困难的处境之下，只有主耶稣基督的意象是比他更真实的，一个比他更具体的。这里面刚刚我们所读的哈，如果你真的要把他这个像画出来哈，是很奇怪的哈。你就看见一个人只穿着长长的衣服，然后只垂到脚，中间束着个金带，然后头跟发皆白哈。那你说头跟发皆白还可以想象哈，因为站在你们面前的人就是这样哈。但是呢，还要像白羊毛如雪，然后眼目如同火焰，你是真的把它画出来，其实是很奇怪的一幅景象。你就知道说它是一个用象征的语言来描写，有很多旧约丰富的图像在背后。讲最简单就是。约翰他用这样的一个看见的意象，接下来用这个文字的描述，就是要让我们知道说，这一位耶稣他是集旧约跟新约的大臣哈，就是他是祭司，因为只有祭司会身穿长衣，只垂到脚，中间束着金带。他的头与发洁白，是那像那一位但以理书第七章那个亘古常在者，就是神。他的眼目、他的脚、他所声音，其实他是那一个真正可以拥有权柄来审判一切的主啊，这些我们都无法细讲。但是这一幅意象深深的震撼到约翰，也就是说他在拔摩海岛他已经很真实了，遇到那些苦难都是很真实的。但是更真实的是这幅意象，当这幅意象抓住他的时候，他说他一看见就扑倒啊，这个是我们看见主耶稣意象的反应。在他脚前像死了一样，然后就听见主就说什么，不要惧怕。就是说我们其实做牧者啊，其实不管你做多久啊，你都会发现上帝如果上帝真的喜欢你的话，就会隔一阵子啊会放一点让你不 不太适应、不太喜欢，甚至很惧怕的情况，以至于可以让你从惧怕到不要惧怕，因为有主耶稣。所以说在这个当中你会发现，当主耶稣跟约翰说不要惧怕，为什么呢？因为我是首先的，我是幕后的，这个是从头到尾啊，从 Alpha 到 Omega， 也就是说像英文的字母是从 A 到 Z， 意思就是说耶稣基督他是一切的一切，他全部都统统都可以包下来。当我们面对他的时候，而且是很真实的遇见他，同时也听见他说，我是那一位曾经死过现在又活了，直活到永永远远，就是耶稣的复活。也就是说在我们重新认识耶稣的时候，特别我会说在这一刻在这个经文里面是重新的来认识耶稣基督的复活。当然之前他一定有定时，但是认识耶稣基督的复活是从旧约，我再说是从旧约就有一直到新约，因为只有复活是真正事情的答案啊，十字架跟复活是分不开的，但是那个复活是真正问题的一个答案，因为只有复活可以战胜死亡。但是你又要面对那个死亡，但是你又透过复活来战胜那个死亡，这样的一个约翰他所经历的事情，他把它写下来，我只能够因为这个时间有限，我的时间也差不多到了，只剩下最后的三分钟，那我就说这个跟我们今天在谈的有什么关系呢？就是让辅牧师跟凤霞师母，他就好像被耶稣基督当时握在右手中的七星，因为那七星是七个教会的使者，无论我们说这个使者在启示录里面比较好像是用来描述 angelic beings， 就是天使啊，每个教会都有一个使者，比如说以弗所教会有以弗所教会的使者，但是我们就把它做一点处境化的应用，就说让福牧师跟凤霞师母他们是代表北堂的这个使者，他们在哪里呢？你说他们一方面可能有身在拔摩海岛的经历，但是另外一方面他们也是被主耶稣握在他的右手。那北堂在哪里呢？北堂就好像当初主耶稣他在这七个灯台的中间，而且他不仅在七个灯台的中间，而且耶稣也是在七个金灯台的中间，也就是代表那七个教会的中间行走的那一位教会的主。所以说在这个情况之下，我要请大家想象啊，最后只剩下一分钟了，你就要想象说让福牧师凤霞师母是被主耶稣紧紧握在他的右手当中，就是他们一面会经验拔摩海岛的经历，但是他们也一样的体会，就是像当初老约翰所体会的，要来遇见，很真实的遇见这位曾经死过又活了，直活到永永远远的耶稣基督，而且是比他们在拔摩海岛的经历更真实 的这幅意象。那你说北堂在哪里呢？那北堂其实就是主耶稣设立在地上的一间教会，很多教会中一间，而且主耶稣也会在北堂的中间行走。那就盼望说当我们展望啊，我们回顾过去七年啊，神的带领恩典，当我们往前看的时候，我们说也真的是不知道会遇到什么样的挑战，但是让我们记得这幅意象，主耶稣是在我们当中行走的。所以无论接下来让福牧师还有凤霞师母还有众同工众弟兄姐妹，我们会遇到什么样的挑战，譬如说像拔摩海岛啊，那个是很困难的挑战，但是我们都知道说我们是在谁的手中，而且主耶稣基督是在我们的当中行走，所以我们就彼此的互勉，相信说这位教会的主会带领北堂，会带领当福牧师他们一家还有跟同工，在未来的时日当中，因着认识主耶稣的复活，认识这位复活的主，就可以来得胜这一切的艰难跟挑战。所以最后，我就是说跟大家有这样的一个互勉， 然后我要开始读约翰福音的十五章，因为接下来这位就是大家说实用的教会就是 Bridge Community Church 的主任牧师 Pastor Randy， 他将会从约翰福音的十五章，他要来有一些训练，他希望我用中文读出他要讲的那个部分啊，所以说我就要把这个中文的部分读出来啊。在这个中文的部分是在约翰福音的第十五章，我要读第五节、十二节、十六节跟二十六、二十七这五节圣经，就请大家来听。约翰福音的十五章第五节：我是葡萄树，你们是枝子，藏在我里面的，我也藏在他里面，这人就多结果子，因为离了我，你们就不能做什么。十二节：你们要彼此相爱，像我爱你们一样，这就是我的命令。十六节：不是你们拣选了我，是我拣选了你们，并且分派你们去结果子，叫你们的果子长存，使你们奉我的名无论向父求什么，他就赐给你们。最后二十六、二十七节：但我要从父那里差宝贵师来，就是从父出来真理的圣灵，他来了就要为我做见证。这个我就是耶稣，你们也要做见证，因为你们从起头就与我同在。
I had Pastor Shin read in Chinese because his Chinese is a little better than mine. It is such an honor to be able to come and speak. On behalf of Bridge Community Church to DCAN and also to Pastor Rang Fu and to Amy. We are in a good relationship with you all. Your 7-year anniversary is my 7-year anniversary at Bridge because we came at the same time. We didn't know we were both new. So today I sort of knew that Reverend Thomas George would speak on glory somehow to the church. And the purpose that we as Christians and we as a church are to have for our own life and the life of our church is to glorify the Lord. Reverend George used the illustration of the body from Ephesians 4. I'm going to use a metaphor from the vine that Jesus used in John chapter 15. If the purpose of all of our individual lives and our corporate lives as a body is to glorify the Lord, how do we do that? What is the strategy? And I believe that Jesus Christ has given us the strategy in John 15 and in John 17. Both of those chapters are broken into three paragraphs. And those paragraphs all are the same in terms of content in those two chapters. Years ago, I began to try to formulate for my own life, what is the strategy that I want to lead my family? What is the strategy for my own church, my small group? And I believe that the Lord was leading me to combine the Great Commission with the Great Commandments to come up with a statement of making disciples who love. And so that is what I have tried to live my life for. And I want to encourage and challenge your church and you all to make disciples who love, because I believe it's not just mine or Bridge's purpose or strategy, but I believe it is the Lord Jesus. And as I was looking at this, I saw in these two chapters, the first chapter being here in John 15, 1 through 11, that first paragraph that deals with abiding in the vine. And so it's all about abiding in Jesus Christ, and Jesus abiding in us. But when you speak to Christians, and speak to a church, they tend to begin to think of, I need to abide. And to borrow Reverend George's illustration, because it was so good, I'm a peach tree. I'm going to bear peaches. Never forget that face. And many Christians go, I'm going to abide in the vine. And it's all about us abiding in Jesus. And I am so grateful that Dr. A.B. Simpson not only started the CNMA denomination, but he was the type of Christian that he was. And in the last few years, I have come to read John chapter 15 in a different way, in that if I concentrate on Jesus Christ abides in me, I do less abiding in Jesus. The unbelievable reality of the living God who created the heavens and the earth abiding in me is a mind blower. Paul says it so good in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope, the Elpidos of glory, doxa. And so I encourage DECAN, I encourage Pastor Rangfu and Amy to celebrate, to worship, and to focus upon in their own quiet time and in their church, Christ dwells in me. The second paragraph, verses 12 through 17, deals with loving one another. The first paragraph is loving the Lord. The second paragraph is loving one another, the Christians. The first is vertical, the second is horizontal. And Jesus says here, their greater love has no one than this, than they lay down their lives for their friends. And you are my friends. And I command you to love one another. If you were to cut open a tree or to cut up open a vine, you would see two types of different cells, xylem and phloem. I love that. Xylem goes from the roots and brings the water and the minerals up to the very tops of the leaves, where the leaves begin to do photosynthesis when the sunlight comes upon them. And sugars are made. Trees and vines love sugars. I find that Chinese love sugars too. Those sugars come down through the vine to the branches and to the roots through the phloem cells. If there is blockages in the xylem and blockages in the phloem, then it won't get the water or it won't get the sugar and the vine will die. Jesus says that Christians are to love one another. Keep open your heart. Do not let bitterness, jealousies, envies, fightings, unforgiveness shrink your heart or clog up your heart so that the xylem and the phloem of God's love cannot flow through you to the other believers. Love is what Jesus commands us. And then third paragraph is verses 18 to 26. Jesus says, I chose you that your fruit should remain. And when the Holy Spirit comes, the Father and I will send the Holy Spirit of truth to you. And he will testify about me. And you will testify about me also because you have been with me from the beginning. And so if the first paragraph of John 15 and 17 is loving the Lord, the second paragraph is loving one another, the third paragraph is loving the lost. And what you find is every church and every Christian begins to have strengths and weaknesses. Some people are worshipers. Some people are great at serving and helping one another and teaching and discipling. And some are great evangelists. But Jesus doesn't say, just do one. Just love the Lord. He just doesn't say, just love one another. And He just doesn't say, love the lost to Christ. He says, do all three. By this you will abide in me, and I will abide in you. And you will fulfill my commandments of loving the Lord, loving one another, and loving the lost to Christ. It produces a balanced denomination. It produces a balanced church. It produces a balanced Christian. It produces a balanced family. It produces a balanced small group. All from John chapter 15. Gary Smalley wrote a book a few years ago and talking about his family. He had one thing that he taught his family. He says, we are going to have one rule in our family. Do you have one rule in your family? He had one rule. Here's what his rule was. Is it honoring? Very fitting for a Chinese church. Is it honoring? Does it honor the Lord? Does it honor you? And does it honor the people? When the brother and sister would hit each other, was that honorable? And the kids heard this so often as they got into their teenage years. He would go, I'm going to ask you a question. Was it, yeah, we know, Dad. Was it honorable? He never backed down. And as they became adults, they were built with this in their head. They could not get it out of their head. Was it honorable? Was it honorable? Was it honorable? And in my heart, and in my house, and in my family, it wasn't honor, it was love. Is it loving? Is it loving to the Lord? Is it loving to one another? Is it loving to yourself? And so I encourage you all to love the Lord, love one another, and love the lost to Christ. And you will fulfill glorifying the Lord. Because that's what you were made for. Amen. Amen.
It's great for me to be back here again. I recognize a lot of you, and it's really terrific to see your faces again. And I just want to say it's great to be here at this time to install Rung Fu and Amy. We worked together when I was here the last time, and I have really grown to appreciate their fellowship and their walk with the Lord. And I think the church is blessed to have them back again as pastor and wife. One thing that I've got to say is, really liked seeing these kids here. When I was here last, they were about this tall. Now they're like this, and I've seen some of them growing along the way. I know Kelly and Teddy came to the other church for a while, and Sam comes to help us in worship. He plays guitar at our worship service sometimes. And I hear about Stephanie off at college, and then I see more of the students here, and I think, wow, they really are turning out great. I have to admit, I went through the pictures, and as I went through the pictures, I thought, this is crazy. These kids drove me nuts. And yet I look through the pictures, and I say, wait a second. These were a great bunch of kids. And my hope for all of your students is that they are growing even to be even a greater bunch of young adults. For those of you who don't know who I am, I was helping the church in the first year with the older students. But back then they were all just in middle school. And now some of them are in college. They're really growing up. And that's also a word of encouragement to you. They do grow up. they're not teenagers forever. I'm very thankful to be back here, and thankful to these other pastors who have shared the word. But in inviting me to come, you invited a youth pastor. And so youth pastors are always a little bit off, and the topic is going to be kind of a youth topic. This has to do with installing the pastor, don't worry. But I want to talk about vampires and zombies. with the teeth, they're a myth, they're not real, make-believe. And really, they are people who are dead, but not dead. They're alive, but they're someplace in between. But the only way they can stay alive is they have to bite other people and suck their blood. They suck the life out of people just so they can stay alive. And I think some of us have bosses who are like that. They suck the life out of it just so they can stay alive. And some of us have friends like that. You know, they kind of drain us of everything just so they can stay alive. And unfortunately, some of us are like vampires. Some of us come to church like vampires, and we constantly need the church to feed us, so we can stay alive, so we can feel alive. But Jesus, we've been talking about Jesus. Jesus came to give us so much more. Jesus came to give us life. The Paul calls Jesus the life-giving spirit. And Jesus came to be our Savior. It's His blood that gives us life, eternal life. And He came to be our friend. And it's that friendship that fills us up. And He fills us up with His life so that we can be people who don't suck life from others, but we are people who can give life to others. So, I want to read Paul's prayer for the Ephesians, which comes just before the passage that Pastor George read. It's in Ephesians 3. And Paul is asking God to give His people this life. This life-giving relationship. And Paul prays this for the Ephesians. For this reason, it's in chapter 3, verse 14. He says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of His glorious riches, He may strengthen you with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may live in you, may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power, together with all the saints, to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness, with the whole fullness of God." You know, Paul is praying for strength and power for the believers, that they might know the love of Christ, and that they might be filled with the full measure everything that God has to offer to you. What this passage also implies is that if there is any weakness in this church, if there is any weakness in us, it's in our inner being, in our hearts, that our hearts are not filled to the fullness with Jesus. And so my prayer for us, the church here, this church here, is that you would know that God has given His Son Jesus so that we can be filled to the fullness with His love and with His life. And if we're filled to the full with Jesus, then we can come and we can go giving life to others. So, this is Pastor Rung Fu and Amy's installation here. So, this is the point. Here's my word to you as the church. Don't be vampire Christians. Don't suck the life out of the pastor and his wife. He's not here to fix you and to keep you alive. Believe it or not, He's not here for that reason. He is here to help you come to Jesus, to help you get closer to Jesus, to help you depend on Jesus. Jesus is the one who gave His life so that you can have life. And it's Jesus who needs to live in you so you can live. And Jesus has given us His Word, the Bible, to feed us. So read it. And let God's Word dwell in your hearts and your minds richly. As Jesus saves us, and He heals us, and He fills us with Himself, then we can come here and we can give life to each other. And we can go out from here and give life, the life of Jesus, to our families, to our friends, and to the world. I just would pray that God would bless this church, new pastor, and may He fill you all with the fullness of Christ. And he closes, and Paul closes this section with a doxology that I would like to read for you as Pastor Rung Fu and Amy begin their new term here. Now to Him, our God in heaven, now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Now I hope to speak in Mandarin. But I'd like to thank our superintendent, Reverend Thomas, George, past Randy, past Daniel, and past Jim Castello. Thank you so much for coming and for encouraging us. And today is also our 7th anniversary. So it's very difficult to speak English. Now, I truly want to speak in Mandarin. 我们北堂走过了七个年头，我们走过了火热的时期。那时候我们好像有共同的呼召，是神的爱呼召我们，有共同的目标，说要在底特律的北边传扬耶稣改变生命的爱，建立互相关心的大家庭。我们下了决心，共同的心智，哇，那时候很火热。 那周五的晚上的见证的时候，大家都甚至很多的微信图都说 这个北堂这个周五晚上的见证，弟兄姐妹真实的分享自己的生活的挣扎，需要依靠主，非常的感恩。我那时候我们很多人也信主啊，北堂七年来有超过100多人信主受洗，可是我们也走过了困难的时期。当我们的关系深入以后，我们就有冲突，有了冲突以后，我们心中就有纠结。 心中有纠结，实际上是挑战我们生命往前成长的时候。可是这个时候呢，也是我们会有困惑、沮丧，甚至失望的时候。所以我们走过了火热的时期，也走过了困难的时期。那甚至这时候，我们还有点失望、困惑，真的如同人现在谈到爱情的那样，3年之痛，7年之痒。3年过后，新鲜的。 与神秘的都没有了，激情消失了，爱情成了鸡肋，吃之无味，弃之不舍。7年以后，你拉住对方的手，摸着对方的脸，好像左手摸右手，没有感觉了。你有的只是对方的毛病，对方的缺点，爱情荡然无存。 这不是爱情，这是激情啊！是激情，一定会有3年之痛，7年之痒。旧约里面有一个人物，是很有名的人物，他叫雅各。雅各呢，他背离神以后，他去投靠住在大约500英里以外的舅舅拉班。那时候没有车啊，他走路去。 大概我算了算，至少15天，孤身一人，我想可能甚至饥寒交迫，到了一个地方，可能快到他舅舅的那个城那里，举目无亲，来到一口井旁。可是正巧这个时候，他的表妹，他舅舅的女儿表妹，拉杰来给羊群喂水，他认出他来，他从来没见过他，别人说这个就是你的。 你的找的那个舅舅的女儿，他就愣住了。我不知道是不是抱着他，圣经说他见到他以后，欢声而哭。有的人说是喜气而哭，啊，我看也是难受的而哭。啊，但是有意思的是，这个表妹她的亲人，圣经这么描述她，生得美貌俊秀。啊，雅各又是独身一人，碰到了表妹，我相信是一见钟情。 亲人成为情人，不但如此，雅各为了娶他的表妹拉杰结婚，娶她为妻，愿意给他舅舅做了7年的工。哎，他舅舅不是好舅舅啊，不是好东西，甚至他圣经里讲他为了自己的利益欺哄雅各，私自逮他的工匠。但是圣经怎么说雅各看这7年？ 这个7年痛苦的劳力呢？圣经说雅各因为深爱拉杰，就看这7年如同几天。7年满了，他的舅舅又骗雅各，没把这个拉杰做给他做妻子，把拉杰的姐姐利亚给他做妻子。那圣经又说什么呢？说。 雅各爱拉杰，又服侍他的舅舅七年。爱使雅各做苦工无怨无悔，为了他所爱的人工作了14年，而且好像看1年如同一日一样。他没有3年之痛，7年之痒，因为这个是爱情，爱情不仅仅出于激情。 更是愿意委身。弟兄姐妹们，我们不是因为主爱我们来出来支坛的吗？我们看7年如同几天吗？还是说很长呢？为什么我们困惑、沮丧，甚至失望呢？我们对主的爱还不如雅各对拉杰的爱吗？还是我们可以说不一样？雅各天天见到拉杰。 那个爱厉害。 你所爱的又天天见了。那我们不能天天见主吗？主没有在这里吗？还是我们灰心了，没有注目在主的身上？我们会说火热的死期主在这里，因为神为我们行了大事，我们的信心也成长，对主的火热好像爱情中的激情。苦难的时期主不在这里，我看不到，但是我看到北坛的许许多多的家庭，虽然不明白，虽然也困惑，仍然忠心侍奉，如同先知哈巴谷说的那样，虽然无花果树不花旺，葡萄树不结果，橄榄树也不效力，田地不出粮食，圈中绝了羊，棚内也没有牛，然而我要因耶和华欢心，因救我的神喜乐。这是成熟的爱情，委身的爱情，这是主耶稣基督在这里的明证。因为圣经这样清楚地说，我们爱，因为神爱我们。我们忠心服侍，无论环境如何，甚至困惑，仍然去爱。这个爱不是我们的激情，这个爱是从神来的，是神在我们当中的明证。所以弟兄姐妹们，既然主一直在这里，让我们定睛在主的身上，点燃我们对主耶稣基督的爱情，把我们下垂的手、发酸的腿挺起来，叫我们经过的流泪谷变成泉涌之地，叫我们行走在未来路上力上加力，天天经历与神同行的喜乐，看下一个七年如同几天一样。阿们。
诗歌来回应神，请诗琴。那我们也顺便收奉献，收今天的奉献。那奉献是为基督徒而设的，若是你不明白奉献的意义，那就没有奉献。来唱这首诗歌。